Welcome, Cheese Kingdom. It's another edition of the Arrowhead Fanatic podcast. And how about that game last night? Was that amazing or what? That was the funnest game I can remember watching in a long time. I was so apprehensive in the first half. I'm sure everyone out there was too. But then in the second half, you know, things kind of went against us a little bit. But come the fourth quarter, Mahomes just started answering. And I don't know if I've ever felt that confident being behind. And that is something I wasn't sure I would ever feel as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I guess I should say that I am Jason Thomas, the host of the Arrowhead Fanatic podcast. And I also blog at arrowheadfanatic.com. And I'm sure you don't really care about that right now. And honestly, I don't care about that right now. I want to jump into these stats. The Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Denver Broncos 27-23, and it was sweet. The hard part is really deciding where to start with all these stats, because there is so much. But I have to start with Mahomes. In the first half of this game, he was only 7 for 15 for 65 yards with the one rushing touchdown. You know, very pedestrian numbers. You could say kind of Alex Smith-like at times, at least with the numbers. But then in the second half, he was 21 for 30 for 239 yards and one touchdown. And there was this cool stat ESPN put up last night from Next Gen Stats that said Mahomes had 192 yards passing outside of the pocket last night, which was the most over the last decade. And as amazing as that stat was, there was one that jumped out at me even more. And that was the fact that his longest air distance traveled, according to Next Gen Stats, which basically that just means wherever he's standing when he releases the ball, they track the yardage. So if he's 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and he throws it 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, it's a 30-yard pass, according to this, even though it's only a 20-yard net gain. But his longest pass last night was just a hair over 36 yards. So it wasn't like he got some of these yards easy. There was a lot of moving outside of the pocket and a lot of those just bullets for short gains and some medium gains too. Mahomes finished the game 28 for 45 with 304 yards passing and two total touchdowns, one rushing and one receiving. You can break that down a little bit farther and see that deep over 20 yards, this wasn't really his best game, but still impressive numbers. He was 2 for 6 for 58 yards, which of course, if you're throwing over 20 yards, the completion percentage isn't going to be as good. Over 10 yards in the 10 to 20 yard range, he was 4 for 7 for 87 yards. A lot of those scrambles we saw late fit into that category. And then 0 yards to 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, he was 11 for 20 for 72 yards. But man, what really jumps off the page is behind the line of scrimmage, he was actually 11 for 11 for 85 yards and one touchdown. How amazing is that? That his best zone throwing was behind the line of scrimmage. 11 for 11, which makes sense. They're short, easy throws. But receivers were able to get 85 yards and a touchdown on that. So that speaks to our receivers being able to catch the ball and make a move. And it also speaks to Patrick Mahomes, how fast he makes decisions and gets rid of the ball so quickly that they have a chance to make a move. That was one of the very first things I noticed in that Denver game last year was just the difference in those short passes between him and Alex Smith. Alex Smith had very good accuracy, but guys weren't always able to continue running full speed when they caught the ball. And then the bigger thing that jumped out at me was just how fast Mahomes got the ball on. I mean, they had a half a second to make an extra move. And it seems like he generally puts the ball on them where they don't have to break stride if they are running. It was just an amazing game from Patrick Mahomes. Even though he already had 13 touchdowns going into this game on the season, and he only had one throwing last night felt to me like the most impressive game, because it showed us Chiefs fans, it showed this Arrowhead fanatic right here, that nobody is going to come in and throw us around anymore. Nobody is going to step on us anymore. This guy right here can do it. We can get a lead and we can hold a lead. Or if a team wants to come out and punch us in the mouth like the Denver Broncos did last night, and they think they can out-physical us and that they can beat us down, well, guess what? We got Patrick Mahomes, and that's a death sentence for a defense. And now for one of the coolest parts about being a Kansas City Chiefs fan this year, I get to talk about Kareem Hunt and the amazing game he had last night. Because as amazing as Patrick Mahomes was and as all the attention he's getting nationally, if it wasn't for Kareem Hunt, we don't have a chance in that game. He showed up when he had to, and he went out there and he got the tough yards. He still showed that balance. He still got those giant legs. And he can put a beat down on the defense. And I was waiting to see this. I've been kind of hammering for the last couple weeks about how he hadn't been receiving the football. He hadn't been getting any targets. And last night, they used him a lot. They used him a lot receiving. They used him a lot rushing. They made a point to get after this Denver Broncos defense. And, you know, in my podcast last week in the preview, I basically said Hunt wasn't going to be used much in this game. I didn't think he was going to be. I thought he was going to get his token 15 carries, get his 45 yards, and that would be it. Because you looked at Denver's defense and they just weren't giving up anything on the ground. And through the air, they were giving up a lot. But Denver kind of changed things up. They decided to do some exotic blitzes. They decided, you know, to get right up on the receivers, on Kelce, make life a living hell for Kelce. And then they didn't give Mahomes enough time for Hill to be able to get deep and to get the big plays. Of course, Samuel Watkins went out sometime early second quarter, I believe. He only had one target, so he wasn't a factor in this game. But other guys stepped up. But Kareem Hunt, as much as Mahomes was amazing last night with that left-handed pass and all those scrambles, and there's no way we would have won that game without him. In the first half, the same goes for Kareem Hunt. Now, Hunt had 19 carries for 121 yards rushing, and then he had 3 receptions on 4 targets for 54 yards. So he had right at 175 total yards. And then his best running actually came to the left, kind of behind Fisher and Irving to that side. They were kind of stretching that side of the defense, going at Bradley Chubb, and they rushed that to that side 4 times for 69 yards. And their rushing touchdown at the end of the game. And it was a beautiful sight. I mean, there were 2 of the best plays I've seen in a long time last night. Where Hunt got to the outside. You thought for sure he was going out of bounds. And he just plants that left foot. And boom, chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chug. He's going uphill. And it was amazing. Because I think the defense was as confused and surprised as I was. And I shouldn't be surprised and confused, because I've seen this. I saw this last year all the time, and I'm still shocked. And then, of course, I mentioned it just a little while ago, but the left-handed throw by Mahomes, what is he thinking? That is Amazing. The fact that you would even try to do that just shows that he's got a different mindset and a different confidence than just about any quarterback in the NFL. And the receivers also stepped up and had big games. With Watkins going out, Hill had 13 targets, Kelce had 12. And then split up behind them, Conley had 6, Harris and Robinson each had 3, and Thomas had 1. That's just the targets. So you can see that Hill and Kelce were targeted a ton in this game. Hill caught 9 of those for 54 yards. So he didn't break much, but he made the catches he had to. He did have a couple drops. He looked a little bit out of sync with Patrick Mahomes, but when they had to have it, Hill came through. And honestly, as I was watching the game, I was surprised when I looked at the stats and saw he had 9 catches on 13 targets. It did not seem like he was that involved to me. But Hill did what he had to do, and he'll live to fight another day and make the big play. Kelce caught 7 of 12 for 78 yards. And I'm not completely sure, but I'm pretty sure that he caught all 7 of those in a row, that he missed his first 5 targets, or didn't catch his first 5 targets, excuse me. If you watch the game, you know some of the passes weren't crisp to him, and the defense had good coverage. And there were a couple that he probably just should have caught because he's Travis Kelce. Conley caught the 4 catches for 13 yards, but those were a very important 13 yards. Harris and Robinson each caught 2. Harris is going for 59 yards, and Robinson's going for 31. So they caught big plays. Those scrambles Mahomes had. 2 of those went to Harris. He's a big target out there. He kind of rolls with Mahomes. Mahomes can see him and he knows, if he's not that open, he can just throw it up to him, which last night he was open. But that's something to kind of watch for the future because Harris is a jump ball guy. And that worked very, very well. Harris just happened to be wide open both times last night. D'Anthony Thomas did catch the one pass for 15 yards. Now, for some of the Chiefs' defensive stats, I'm going to start by just mentioning that the Broncos' leading receiver was Jeff Eimerman, who only had 57 yards receiving. So, if the Chiefs can keep the other teams tight end down to 57 yards, that's a big improvement because they've been getting killed by tight ends. It sure helped the Chiefs that the Broncos pass catching tight end went down with an injury this week. But at least they did their job this week. Keenum was just 21 for 33 for 245 yards. He had the one INT and he got sacked 4 times. They came from 4 different players, Dee Ford, Allen Bailey, Justin Houston, and Armani Watts. Of course, if you watch the game, just like me, it was the run game that was frustrating you. All the missed tackles. Speaking of missed tackles, Hitchin and Raglan, 3 tackles apiece. I don't know what was going on in that game, if it was that they were both gassed, because everybody seemed winded in that game. I even saw Patrick Mahomes bent over at the waist. Gasping for air. Hunt was gasping for air a few times. Hill, you never see Hill gasp for air. But I'm kind of wondering if that got to those middle linebackers a little bit because they're big guys. And I know Raglan's probably not tip-top condition because he hasn't been able to practice at full speed. He didn't get his training camp in. But Hitchens, man, for a guy they call Hit, you got to hit somebody. And you've done a great job, in the first three games, but last night I just wanted to see a little bit more. But the two-headed monster running back for the Broncos, Philip Lindsay, had 69 yards. Royce Freeman had 67. Altogether, the Broncos rushed 22 times for an average of 7.2 yards per carry. That's a stat that is just killer on the Chiefs, especially since all offseason we heard how the Chiefs were going to shore up stopping the run. But honestly, at least if teams are running, they're scoring slower and they aren't throwing it for 450 yards and scoring fast TDs. Dee Ford did leave the game right before halftime. He was making a pretty big impact in the first half. I was looking at the snap counts on defense for the second half, and it looks like Passanio played 18 snaps and Speaks played 16 for the game. So they split it, you know, pretty evenly between them being on the field. I mostly remember seeing Passanio out there because it seemed like he did get pressure a few times. For the game, if you look at Next Gen Stats, Chris Jones actually had the most consistent pressure for the Chiefs. He had his best game of the season, according to Next Gen Stats, getting pressure. He wasn't able to get home. But then Ford and Houston both had better than average pressure, and Bailey was right at the average. Bradley Chubb had the best pressure for the Broncos, and then, of course, Von Miller was right behind him. The one good stat that keeps popping up about this Chiefs defense, and I don't truly even understand it, I need to look at this a little harder, but the Chiefs defense has faced 42 third downs, and only 10 of them have been converted by the opposing team, which comes in at 23.8% conversion rate for opposing offenses, and that's first in the NFL for the Chiefs. That is a great number. In comparison, the Chiefs' own offense is 20 for 41, coming in just under 50%, which is third best in the NFL. On the flip side of that, the Chiefs' defense is one of the absolute worst at stopping teams from getting touchdowns in the red zone. They've only stopped 2 of 12 touchdown attempts in the red zone. So they're giving up touchdowns 83.3% of the time, which is 29th in the league. And on the flip side of that, the Chiefs' offense has scored touchdowns 14 of the 17 times they've been in the red zone, for 82.5%, and second in the NFL. That's a great number, folks. On special teams, Tyreek Hill did have that 37-yard punt return early in the game. Kind of gave the Chiefs good field position. Scared the crap out of the Broncos. They never gave the Chiefs another chance to do much of anything on special teams, which I expect to see the entire year. Teams, once they get out there and actually see Tyreek Hill move, they're just crap in their pants and they're not going to kick the ball to us anymore. Some of the team stats for the game. The Chiefs held the ball for over 35 minutes. That was by far the most dominant game for them, at least as controlling the ball, which I kind of thought the Broncos would do since they ran the ball so efficiently and they needed to keep the ball out of the Chiefs' offense away from them. But they weren't able to do that. So the Chiefs' defense was just on the field for 25 minutes, and they did produce the 4 sacks and were able to come up with a stop at the end of the game. And I think it was very important for the Chiefs' defense not to be on the field a ton in this game, being in Denver and being in that thin air, because I kind of expected this game to be higher scoring And that was one of the reasons I really thought the Chiefs defense would fall apart in the second half once they got tired. But, you know, thanks to Case Keenum missing a wide open Demaryius Thomas at the end of the game, the Chiefs were able to win. And that happens sometimes. But Keenum did not impress me in this game. I honestly thought he was a better player than this, but he's kind of proving me wrong. The Chiefs had 10 penalties for 93 yards. That's rough. Yeah, they can't keep doing this to themselves. There were a couple penalties that I thought were just absolute bullshit crap. There was a holding call that put us to second and 30 on Mitch Morse. And I watched the replay multiple times, and I just absolutely don't see it. The Chiefs, of course, Eric Murray got the interception, so they won the turnover battle in this one. I talked about how that was important. Keenum had thrown an interception every game, and the Chiefs were able to get that one and not turn the ball over themselves. Now, weirdly enough, that turnover didn't do a whole lot to help the Chiefs as far as the score, but it did bring the defense off the field, give them a breather, and give the Chiefs offense another crack at wearing down this Broncos defense. And the Broncos defense did wear down. I'm going to touch on just a few of the season stats for the Chiefs because they are a quarter of the way through the season. So Mahomes has 1,200 yards, which is exactly 300 yards per game pace, which would put him at 4,800 yards on the season if this pace continues. He's got 14 touchdowns, which puts him on pace for 56. And then his completion percentage is a little over 65% with zero interceptions. I can't imagine his stat line being this good every quarter, but I think we saw last night with the Broncos game that his stats can be normal stats and him play an amazing game in the Chiefs win, which 300 yards is probably not normal. But in today's NFL, I think it might be. For total yards, Hill leads the team with 375. He's got three touchdowns to go with that. Hunt is second on the team with 348 total yards and four touchdowns. And Kelce is third on the team with 307 total yards and three touchdowns. So, you know, the big three are right up there at the top. If Sammy Watkins hadn't missed this game, he probably would have been close to being up there. He probably still would have been fourth. But he's got, I believe, 220-some total yards, and he missed most of that game. On defense, Hitchens has 35 tackles through the four games, even though he only had three last night, and that puts him on pace for around 140, which is a great number. And then Parker and Murray both have an interception apiece in the secondary, and I'm guessing they'll both get to play the next quarter of this season quite a bit. I'm hoping that by the second half of the season, Barry is a mainstay out there and that Sorensen can kind of work himself back. I'm not the biggest Sorensen fan, but at the same time, I can see the need for him. Parker and Murray have filled in admirably. Sorry. But there's room for improvement out there. We can all see that. Parker seems just a step late on a lot of these plays, and I think a lot of it is just the fact that teams are sending two receivers back there, and he's got to choose which one to break towards. And he doesn't have just a ton of speed anymore to make stuff up. And Murray seems to actually be playing a little bit better the last couple games to me. Like, maybe he's not thinking as much. Sometimes I have to remind myself that he was a corner that converted to safety And some people make that transition look really easy, and some it takes a while. Ford, Houston, and Bailey all have 3 sacks apiece on the season, so they're all on pace for 12 right at the moment. Now, with my daily fantasy football, I just didn't quite break even last night personally. Hunt having that monster game, I wasn't expecting that. And so I didn't have him going in a lot of contests. And I'm lucky that I did in a few, because he definitely saved me some of my money back. Hill didn't have the big game that I thought he was going to have. And Kelsey just kind of did what he had to do as far as fantasy stats go. Mahomes didn't have the biggest game fantasy-wise, but we all know he did enough in the real game. And Cortland Sutton had a decent game for his price because he didn't cost much. Both the Broncos running backs had decent games. It was kind of a toss-up. I actually played both of them in a lot of my contests, which paid off a little bit too. But my advice, I thought this game would be a lot higher scoring on both sides, and it wasn't. I just didn't read it that well. So sorry for the bad advice, guys. Well, that's all I got for today's show, and go Chiefs!